Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The University of South Dakota and the University Art Galleries have been home to Henry Payer as the 2019 Northern Plains Indian Artist in Residence. The work produced during his residency is on exhibit in the John A. Day Gallery at the Warren M. Lee Center for the Fine Arts today through November 17th. An opening reception is scheduled for Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Payer's residency project focuses on the removal and relocation of the Ho-Chunk people from Wisconsin during what's known as the Dakota Uprising of 1862. Henry Payer joins us this morning from our Vermilion studio on the USD campus. Henry, welcome to In the Moment and congratulations.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Tell us a little bit about how this residency has been for you.
It's been great. It's been very eye-opening. I've been having great experiences.
This is not your first time at the University of South Dakota. Take me back a little bit, because you attended the Oscar Howe Summer Art Institute. Did you know that you wanted to be an artist? How did that experience at the Summer Art Institute open your eyes to possibly having a career in art?
It was there I met a lot of great artists at the time who kind of let me know that you can pursue an active career as being an artist. And it kind of really instilled in me the dedication to make work that is about who I am and where I am from.
How do you do that in a way that, you know, are there challenges to do that, to sort of bring your whole self, your whole history to the artistic process?
Yeah, especially nowadays, you know, it's a time of historical revision and recovery, and we're trying to actively, you know, re-indigenize our lifestyles. You know, as you know, I'm sure you're aware, we've kind of been pushed around and having to deal with these different parts of our history that we can kind of, you know, think about and recollect and try to bring forward, you know, a positive narrative in our own indigenous and specifically for myself, a Ho-Chunk perspective.
Hmm. I was at the Visual Arts Center in Sioux Falls last night, and there was an exhibition of some of their collection with quotations from Oscar Howe about what is and what isn't indigenous art, what is native or tribal art. Mm-hmm. You had a piece in that show that the Visual Arts Center had on display.
Wow.
And it was looking, there was some Cubist influences there. And then I turned to the Oscar Howe painting on display and looked at the work he was doing. How did he, as an artist, really change things, not only because of the quality of what he did artistically, but because of how he used his words and his voice at sort of insisting that there was one more than one way, you know, to make art?
Yeah. I really, you know, applaud and you know, think highly of Oscar, you know, without his kind of trailblazing, you know, influence, you know, not only in his work, but, you know, as a storyteller, you know, he were able to visually see his narratives within the work. And that kind of really instilled in me, you know, that same type of mentality and process making the work.
So you use, you know, some of that sort of Cubist influence, or what, you know, you might call a European artistic tradition, along with, you know, traditional you know, processes and media. Tell me a little bit about your process itself, about finding things, about incorporating found objects into your art. What does that look like?
My process begins with my relationship to the landscape, you know, and it's through this motion of both physical travel and interaction that I access the history of the land. I'm really drawn to these areas of Ho-Chunk removal. Without giving you a whole history lesson, you know, Ho-Chunk people have been removed from Wisconsin, you know, a total of, you know, 5 to 7 times, depending on which, you know, dates and timelines you're trying to go through. But for me, it's really that idea of motion that really draws me to the work and allows me to kind of, you know, reflect and contribute to that my own cultural identity. Basically through the reclamation and reactivation of our own, you know, cultural history that's embedded in the land, I'm able to access that and draw that out and then to be inspired by it. And I use the, you know, the modernism as a way to draw the viewers in and then combined with my own indigenous perspective and ideas, I'm able to kind of, you know, foresee how to actively, you know, break that down and to make something that speaks about all those different levels of history.
And you actually traveled, you've traveled some of those same, you know, some of that same landscape as people would have during removal.
Yeah. When I went to grad school, UW-Madison in Wisconsin, you know, I was actively driving back and forth from Nebraska to Wisconsin, so it was like in the same realm of how my ancestors were removed, and then always traveled back to Wisconsin. And along those areas in Minnesota and Iowa, there's locations where we have also been removed, and I would, you know, actively always stop there and find site-specific materials that I could use in my work.
All right, so give me an example of something, you know, that you're physically standing in the landscape with an awareness that's different than somebody else who's maybe just driving by or, you know, noticing the weather that day, right? Like you're in a different space. What kind of thing might you pick up that connects you to that history and also can help artistically interpret that history and that culture for a viewer in a gallery?
Yeah. It really depends on the site and how I feel, you know, that speaks to me. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I pick up, you know, just small ephemeral, you know, trash in some respect, you know, historical documents that I find at antique stores. For a piece that I've recently installed in the gallery here, I've collected doors that I've, you know, assembled to make a structure. And so all these things kind of, depending on the project or the idea, I try to find something that can manifest that idea.
Mm. Do you have times that you just know you've got something special, where you just pick something up and, you know, just say, where you really feel like something happened there?
Yeah, a lot of the time that's kind of how it feels, and I don't want to be, you know, I've always seemed like that person that was walking down the street and all of a sudden I see, you know, this small red cap or a piece of, you know, yellow paper and I'm digging under a fence to grab it and bring it with me. And here I am, you know, looking kind of strange to the people who might be walking by. But for me, that's the artistic process. And I take it in the studio and make something out of it accessing that history that's found within whatever the object may be.
How did you learn that history? Did you learn that from people telling you about it? Did you tell me how your understanding of removal has grown as you have, you know, turned your focus to it, your artistic focus to it?
Being, you know, Ho-Chunk, especially enrolled with the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska, that's part of our history of removal. And so it's always kind of been something that's instilled in us, and it's something that we, you know, celebrate, you know, each year with our own, you know, homecoming celebration. And that's what it's, you know, essentially about. You know, our prominent leaders at the time, you know, they had to sacrifice a lot to ensure that we could still remain in this area. And that's kind of something that's always kind of, it's inherent that I grew up with. And, you know, traveling, it's always that same kind of, you know, that I bring that history with me wherever I go. You know, having to identify as a Winnebago from Nebraska or a Ho-Chunk from Nebraska, and that's kind of what I've always known.
What do people who are, you know, you said you didn't necessarily want to get into a whole history lesson, but what do you think people need to understand about that time in order to... Maybe I'll just leave the question there. Like, what do you think people really need to, where does their understanding, you know, you're not responsible for making everybody come to a deeper understanding, but what do you sort of wish that people would begin with in their understanding of this time of removal?
Yeah, as a Ho-Chunk artist, I feel it is my responsibility to bring to my community useful ways of talking about our experience and trying to develop a culture of critical consciousness that's based on the recovery of indigenous knowledge and history. And so physical relocation from Wisconsin and, you know, ending up here in South Dakota as a result of the events in Minnesota, you know, what it's known as, you know, the Dakota Uprising of 1862, and how that is, you know, that kind of reflects and the work contributes to that preservation of my cultural identity along with, you know, the reclamation and reactivation of our shared cultural history. especially here, you know, it's not only my history, it's our history. And if we're going to talk about being, you know, individuals in states, Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, you know, it's our shared history that we're always trying to, you know, find and to access and to be responsible for.
Do other people in your family have, do you have a tradition of that kind of interpretation of culture of an artistic tradition?
My mother, you know, did beadwork and made dance regalia and outfits and blankets. And my father was a welder. And so I've always kind of had to this working with my hands, you know, it's a very tactile approach to making artwork. And, you know, it's kind of our thing within the community that's kind of inherent. As, you know, indigenous people, you know, we always kind of have that to fall back on, even as artists, if you want to, you know, identify as artists.
Mm. The opening reception Friday at 5 o'clock. What do you before people come to that reception and say they're seeing the exhibit for the first time? What do you want them to experience as an artist? Like, what makes you look around and say? Let me ask you this first: does it make you nervous when everybody comes in and starts looking at the work maybe for the first time?
No, I'm very excited to be able to show and to share this with you. You know, it's a creative talent that I've been, you know, blessed with, and I'm actually, you know, always wanting to share it. And I see that as the most positive and way to kind of allow people to, you know, get to know, you know, Ho-Chunk people, indigenous people, however you want to classify it. And that's what's important.
You know, I always ask artists that, and they always say, no, I'm not nervous, I'm excited. And I've come to determine that I'm the only person who gets nervous. I'm like, oh, that's just me who does that. Everyone else is excited.
Yeah, it's understandable.
It's a lesson, I think, for all. Anything else that you want to say about the exhibit and about the residency in general?
I'm just thankful for, you know, the University of South Dakota and the College of Fine Arts for allowing me to be able to take on this type of project. You know, it's always something that I've always wanted to do, and I'm thankful that I was able to do it at this time, and, you know, want to be able to be just grateful for that opportunity.
Well, we're grateful for you. And at the Visual Arts Center last night, when I was just looking at that one, you know, that one art piece that was hanging there of yours, I spent a long time looking at it. And so I guess my advice would be, give yourself some time, because I think this exhibition is not, just judging from that one piece, you're not going to race through a Henry Pair exhibit. Does that sound fair?
That's very fair. Thank you for that.
Well, we encourage people to make the trip to Vermilion. Henry, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much.